Valley Church, and thank you to our worship team for leading us in worship this morning. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Pat shared with us about evangelism, right? How many of you were here when he did that? And then last week, we got to hear a little bit from Gabe, who I know, just sharing a personal testimony and how God uses him regularly in his walk with friends and with people that he knows to be able to share his faith. And we are continuing along that same theme or that idea of evangelism today. And really, evangelism is just about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, right? It's okay when I ask a question to say something back. It's about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and it is good news. We got to remind ourselves that it is good news. And this past week, I was over at Phil's Coffee in San Jose downtown, and I went into the coffee shop, sat down, and since I don't really drink coffee, ordered something else, even though pastors tend to hang around in coffee shops. So was sitting there, and there was a young man, looked like a college student, sitting to my left, and I can remember when I sat down there just thinking, Lord, I'd love to talk to this guy, and if you would allow me to be able to share my faith in some way, to be able to do that, have no idea what that's going to look like, right? And so I tried something really original because the guy actually at one point sneezed, and I said, guess what? God bless you, right? Like thinking, hey, maybe that'll open up an opportunity, right? Mention God, right? And we continue to talk, and I learn a little bit about him and what he's studying in college right now and kind of his pursuit and dreams for the future. He asked what I did. I was able to share with him that I was a pastor and where I was pastor. And there were a number of times where I was putting things out there hoping he might respond or ask a question or whatnot about it. And he wasn't really responding to those things, even though we were having a wonderful question or time. And I was taking an interest in this guy. And so I was beginning to feel like maybe without me just jumping out there, you know, maybe this wasn't going to happen today. And as we're talking, I've been kind of listening because off to my right, there's these two guys and they're sitting there and they're talking. I don't know if you've ever been in a restaurant, but you're not eavesdropping on folks, but you can hear a couple things they might say here and there. And I can remember thinking, I wonder if there's any chance that these guys are Christians when they were sitting next to me, even though I only heard a couple things they had said and were talking about. And so at some point with the guy I was still talking to sitting next to me and another man sitting in the corner, I turned to these two guys and I said, is there any chance you guys are Christians? And one of the guy's eyes got about this big around. I think I shocked him that I said that. And the other guy nodded his head like, well, yes, we are. And said, oh, that's amazing. What are you guys doing here? You just kind of meeting to encourage one another, or what are you doing? And they began to share a little bit. In short, the one guy was there, and it was kind of a discipling type meeting or relationship that he was having with a younger man. And so I asked them, are you plugged into a local church anywhere? And the one guy said yes. The other guy didn't say anything, and he mentioned a local church in town. And when he mentioned that church, I said, guess what? The office manager at our church actually goes to that church. And I shared her name, and he said, oh, I know who Annalisa is. And so the young man who's sitting there is kind of surprised by all this, right? And he's kind of looking around. And at that point, the man who was sitting next to those two says to me, I hear you say you're a pastor. And now let me tell you something here. This is where, and I want to make this so clear. I'm not sharing this story to try to make me sound good. What I want to say is that, man, I told my son even this past week or the week before, sometimes when I have opportunities to share my faith, I get nervous too, you know? I get nervous, and he said, oh, you don't look like you're ever nervous. I said, well, no, really, I am. I don't know what's going to go on at times. And so let me tell you a little bit something about this man. This man had been sitting there while I was talking to this person and the two next to me. This man appeared as though he may be homeless. He was sitting in the corner of this coffee shop, and you could definitely smell it had been a while since he had been able to have a shower or a bath. two different times while I sat there thinking about how to witness to someone, I almost got up and moved because the smell was strong enough that it was uncomfortable. And so here I am trying to witness to this man, all of a sudden seeing that these two, God's doing something here, and I'm thinking maybe I've got an opportunity to pray with or encourage them. And this man who appears to be homeless says, "I hear you say you're a pastor." And for a moment I thought, what in the world is he going to say now? I honestly thought maybe he was going to say, "Why weren't you talking to me?" I didn't know what he was going to say. And to my surprise, he begins to share a praise. That's how I would describe it. He begins to share a praise and he says, "I want to tell you something. My mother, who's also homeless," and he talked about his sister Monica, who I met that night and was there on the streets with him. "They've been impoverished, homeless for quite some time, out on the streets. And he wanted me to know that his mom had just gotten word from some housing authority and whatnot, and however it works, that she was going to be getting into an apartment, and there was a time frame of X amount of weeks. And he was wanting to share that with me and let me know." And I said, that's fantastic, man. I'm so happy to hear that." And about this time, here comes his sister, and she had two little shopping carts. She was moving along with her. And at first I said, "Oh, is this," because he's talking about his mom. I thought, "Is this your mom?" He says, "No, it's my sister." And I thought, oops, got to, you know, never want to, you know, I say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I've never met you guys before." And so I turned to Dennis, was the man's name, and I said, "Have you had a chance to eat tonight?" And he said, "No, we haven't had dinner yet." And I said, "Well, why don't we, if there's some place close by, let's go together and let's get something to eat." And so he said, "Sure." And he says, "There's a little, if you know the area, there's a little place called Pizza My Heart that's like right around the corner." And so we start walking. And so I'm walking with this man. We're going down the street and I begin to just talk to him and try to get to know him. I shared with you his name is Dennis. He had some sort of disability. His hand was obviously shriveled, or fingers not functioning properly. Learned that he was raised here and grew up in the San Jose area. I'm talking to him. I'm thinking about that he's probably about my age and how I can try to relate to him. And so, I don't know if you guys know, I'm 48. I said that yesterday. It surprised some folks, I guess, but I'm 48 years old, even though I've got some young kids that God's blessed us with. And I'm thinking we're probably about the same age. He says, "I'm 33. And I was just reminded of how living on the street, it will take some wear and tear on your body big time. He began to talk about the high school that he went to, a choir that he was involved in at that high school. And right now in our church's kind of big picture, we're trying to think about how we can be engaged more locally in missions and what's happening, how we can help people in our immediate area in addition to all the wonderful things we do across seas. And so I just began to share that with this man. I said, "What would you say to me and to our church as to how we might be able to help?" And he began to share a bunch of different ideas, and I found out a little bit more about where he goes and receives help for different things. And about this time I was in the area because my son was having a rehearsal there at the school. He calls me on the phone, "Dad, where are you at?" "Hey, I'm over here talking to this guy, Dennis. Why don't you come?" He comes. And about this time, it was time for us to wrap things up. We had bought pizza. I'd spent time with them both. Found out that they had a little place they slept right behind. There's a flower shop there. They said, "As long as we're out by 5 or 6 in the morning, it's okay for us to sleep there as long as we're out before people come." And I said, "Can I just ask you," I said, "one of the first things you did tonight was want to share what I would consider to be like a praise. Do you consider yourself to be a man of faith?" And he said, "Well, I don't know about a man of faith, but I believe in God. I believe there's a Jesus." And I was able to then share the gospel with this man. Share, "Hey, that's wonderful you believe in Jesus. And here's what the Bible says about Jesus, or these things that you believe about Jesus." And I would just say this, that as I was able to share those things, he seemed to be in agreement about those things that I was sharing. And by the time we were done praying with him at the end, his, you know, just tears flowing down this man's eyes. And it was a beautiful, precious night where I had an opportunity to do what I'm going to say is the greatest responsibility and privilege that every person in this room has, and that's to share Jesus Christ. I look back on that and I go, I can't take credit for anything that happened there. Truth is, I might not have even said anything to this man if he didn't say something to me at first. I was feeling conviction about that. But I was trying to be intentional about sharing with someone. And then that person wasn't really even interested, but some other people were encouraged by it. And then it meant I got to share the gospel with somebody else, right? And I was just reminded of how we walk into situations like that and we don't have any idea what's going to happen, right? But the question is, I guess, are we willing? Are we looking for opportunities like that? Because God wants to use every single one of us and he wants to save people. Our God is a God who saves. We sing about that, don't we? I want to see God save people through us individually and through the ministry of this church. And I hope and pray and have been praying God would relight a fire in our hearts to take the good news of the gospel out to people around us. And when Pastor Pat had an opportunity to preach a couple weeks ago and spoke on evangelism, we had already been planning to have some sort of series on evangelism in this coming year. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to piggyback off that, and we're going to continue to talk about this. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity today to learn how to share your faith a different way, probably a different way than you've ever been taught. A couple of weeks ago when Pastor Pat shared, he's done in a small group the Way of the Master, right? Ray Comfort and some of that stuff. And you use the law to help people see they've broken God's law and fallen short of God's law, so they're in need of a Savior and they need to repent and all those wonderful things that are so true. I'm going to give you an opportunity to learn to share the gospel a new way today. And it's something that I've done on a napkin. It's something I've done on a tablecloth in a restaurant, and you guys will be glad to know it was a paper tablecloth. I didn't graffiti some restaurant's tablecloth, but had an opportunity to share in an Italian restaurant, one of those ones where they pull out the paper and the waiter or waitress writes in crayon what their name is and all that. Hey, take advantage of that, right? So I'm going to ask this. I want to ask if Tony and maybe Joel, would you guys come? And there is some paper right here in front. You guys are going to be my art students today, okay? You're going to actually draw something with me. But here's my promise to you. Tony, go ahead. And there's that pile of paper there. I even got some thicker cardstock, so it'll hold up well for you guys. Go ahead and distribute those to everybody. You'll want to look in the chairs in front of you. There are pencils in those chairs. This is one of those times where your pastor's asking you to pick up a pencil and participate in what we're doing, okay? You're not going to be graded on the final outcome of what your pictures look like. In fact, you're going to be glad to know that I've picked some things, or what I'll be sharing with you is so simple, you can draw it, okay? That's my promise to you. It's so simple, you can draw it. Some of you are thinking right now, if someone's eternal life depends on my ability to draw, they're in trouble, right? This is going to be easy, I guarantee you. I want to encourage you as I share some verses this morning, just to jot those verses down, the reference for them. If I share a chapter and a book they're in, I'll share the verse with you. You don't have to look up that verse right now. Some of them are going to be on the screen. I want to show you how easy it can be if you're prepared. You're actually sitting down with someone and have an opportunity to share the gospel, to use a pencil and a piece of paper, and we'll say first or second grade art level. How's that? But before we get to actually drawing those pictures, let me set this up a little bit, and I want to ask this question. How important is evangelism to our God? Go ahead, tell me. How important is it to him? It's very important, is it not? It's commanded, someone said. Very true. Let me tell you how important evangelism, or sharing our faith, is to our God. God has actually postponed Christ's return. Listen to this. He's actually postponed Christ's return and the ultimate fulfillment of his coming kingdom until a future day, so that, with this in mind, he might save many more people through his witnesses. And we're not talking here about Jehovah's Witnesses. We're talking about his witnesses. Would you like to take a guess who they are? They're you and I. You and I who have placed faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know that every time, and we just talked about this last week briefly, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we remember his death until what? Until he comes. He's coming again. And guess what? God has said he's not coming again yet. He could come at any moment, but God has set that date in his mind. It's been set from eternity past. And until that point, our job is to bring as many people into a relationship with God as possible. He's entrusted that privilege to you and I. And it really is a privilege. I want to give you a verse or some verses that talk about how important this is to God. And I'll read them if you're not able to see them. I realize this one's a little bit longer. This is from Acts chapter 1. Verses 6 through 8, Christ has been resurrected from the dead, and he's appeared to hundreds and hundreds of people. And the Word of God says, so when they had come together, what's on the minds of the people? Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? God, are you going to finish this up the way that we see it prophesied in what we would refer to as the Old Testament scriptures, and establish your kingdom and rule over your kingdom and all that the Word of God says you will do? Is it going to happen now? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then he says what? You will be my witnesses. He says, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God has literally pressed pause on one of the greatest events in the history of the world that's going to come to pass, that Christ will return and his kingdom will be established or fulfilled in an ultimate sense. And we could talk a lot about what that means, but let me just say this. God knows when that's going to come to pass. And in the meantime, you and I have been given an assignment. And he has said this to us, you're to be my witnesses. I just want to ask you this morning to think to yourself, and you don't have to say out loud, how are you doing with what Jesus has specifically entrusted to the church who is made up of you and I? How are you doing with being his witnesses? How much does our God care about evangelism? Look at this passage. This is from 2 Peter 3, 4 through 9. And it says that there will be people who are asking, where is the promise of his coming, right? If he could come again at any moment, and we've been waiting for thousands of years, what type of God is this as far as how he keeps his promises? When is it that he's going to come again? And then Peter wants us to know this. He says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. He actually knows what he's doing, and that shouldn't surprise us. He's not slow as some count slowness, but let me tell you what's going on. He says, our God is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. It's the desire of our God's heart that every relative you have, every neighbor you have, every coworker you have, every person you go to school with, every acquaintance of yours would turn from their sin and trust in God and be saved. And you know what he has said? You're my witnesses to them. You are. Not just the paid pastoral staff, not even just the elders or the deacons or the worship leaders or children's ministry directors and leaders, but you, every one of you here represented in this room today. I want you to think about this with me for a moment, and I believe there was one more verse there which really says the same thing. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4, this is good and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This messes with my mind. Well, I'll just tell you when I think about this, because I know this, that when we pray in accordance with the will of God, God what? He answers, does he not? And what do we know is God's will? What do we know that God desires? He desires that everyone would come to him and be saved. Are we being faithful what's been entrusted to us? I want you to think about this for a moment. There are many things that God has called you and I to do while we're here on earth that once we pass away and he takes us home, they're just going to be better in heaven. Let me give you some examples here. As great as and as much as we enjoy worshiping God here on earth, how do you think that will compare to when we look at Christ and are able to worship him in heaven? It's just going to be better, is it not? What about this? Since I can't read, I got to turn this way. What's it say? Relationships. Anybody having any relational challenges right now? They're not always so smooth as we might like them to be. There's coming a day when there will no longer be any discord. There will no longer be any lack of unity and lack of forgiveness and things like that. There's coming a day where relationships will be perfect and we'll be with God forevermore. How about your health? How many of you are ready to trade in your bodies at the local dealership and get the newer model, right? Got family right now in the hospital, family right now not in the hospital that probably should be in the hospital. By the way, let me just give a little update here. Went into the urologist this last Thursday or Friday, can't remember which day, Thursday I think it was. And they went in and I have no tumors, no cancer in my bladder. And you guys who kind of been here and know the story, that was my first 6 month checkup going back into the doctor. Praise God for that. Amen. How about sin? Not going to be any sin in heaven anymore, right? And there's some ways, let me just say this, it's correct to say God has rescued those of us who are in Christ from the penalty of sin. We're not going to, because of Christ and what he's accomplished for us on the cross, have to pay the penalty for our sin. We are, as the Spirit of God's at work within us, doing a sanctifying work right now, being rescued from the power of sin in our life in an ongoing basis. And one day in the future, we'll be delivered completely when we're with God from even the presence of sin. Won't be any sin around. Everything that makes this world so difficult, so challenging, it's to make us long for something in the future, is it not? But while we long for it, may we take advantage of what he's given us opportunities to do now. I say this, that worship will be even better in the future. Our health will be much better. Sin will be dealt with away in the future that we're still waiting to be fully realized. Our relationships are going to be better. But let me ask you to think about this for a moment. What about evangelism? Not going to be any evangelism in heaven. Because that day when we're all there, it'll be those who have received Christ, those who have repented of their sins and put their trust in Jesus, who are there. The opportunity for us to evangelize and to share our faith is when? It's now. It's not after God's taken us home. It's now. You could ask, well, where should I start? And I want to just say this, starting on our knees is always a good place to start, is it not? And when you recognize this, that successful evangelism is all about God, it will prompt us to get on our knees and to ask God for his help. want to give you just a few thoughts to think about here. I'm actually going to, just for time's sake, skip through this one. But I want to say this, that God has called you to be his ambassadors, and that it's God through Christ who is reconciling the world to himself. It's God doing it through us is what this passage in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20 is telling us. But here's how we can be praying. I would say this, be praying for you. As you ask, how can I pray? Start by praying for you. And here are some things you can be praying. You can pray that God will keep you willing and available to share the gospel anytime and any place. Anytime and any place that you're willing and you're available. Second, pray that God will give you boldness, because let's be honest, it can be hard to be bold sometimes, is it not? Pray that God will give you boldness in sharing the good news. Third, pray that God will give you wisdom and clarity as you share the gospel message. Sometimes just knowing how to say what you say to someone, or how to say it in a way that connects with them. God gives wisdom and he helps us with those things. And we want to be clear in how we share it as well. And let me just say this. A gospel message that's shared not completely clearly is way better than a gospel message not shared, right? Taking steps in that direction. And here's what I found out. You'd be amazed what God can do. You'd be amazed what a person might be going through that you don't even know, the little messed up thing you said that wasn't even that good and you couldn't remember where that verse was in scripture. Maybe that was exactly what that person needed to hear at that moment. Pray God to give you wisdom and clarity as you share the gospel. And finally, pray that God will always glorify himself. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? That God be glorified when you talk to others about Jesus. Not so that people might say, oh, hey, what a good guy, what a nice, what a, all these things, but that God would be glorified. Second, I want to say this. Those are ways we could pray for ourselves. As far as how we would pray for them or for him or her, depending on who you're sharing the gospel with, pray God even now would make them thirsty for the truth of the gospel. Second, pray that God would minimize distractions and maximize communication. I can't tell you how many times where I've been trying to share my faith with someone where a car might go by and semi lays on the horn or something, and distractions and whatever. Pray that God would eliminate distractions as this is going on, and that he would maximize the communication you have. Third, pray that God would make them receptive and willing to listen to the gospel. I want to just say that whenever this comes from a loving place, whenever it comes out of taking a legitimate interest in other people, my experience has been God tends to open those doors abundantly. It doesn't always start with, hey, running up and throwing a gospel tract in someone's face, even though that's a step, right? Seeking to meet a physical need, showing the love of God in a tangible way, and then seeing how God opens doors for you to pray with that person or to share what God's done in your life. Finally, pray God will make them restless until they come to the place of repentance and faith. You go, wow, that's kind of interesting. You know what the most dangerous place in the whole world to be is to not be in Christ and to be comfortable. Pray that God would make them restless and that they wouldn't be comfortable with that. I want to talk to you now and give you a way to share your faith, and I've tried to lay this out to show you how it can be drawn on a piece of paper. This didn't come from me. This comes from a pastor that I really appreciate named Mike Fabares, who's a pastor in Aliso Viejo and has written a wonderful book on discipleship. He uses this, and I thought, man, I really like that and wanted to share it with you today. If God has made you his ambassadors, you're his witnesses, and the ministry of reconciliation has been entrusted to you, do you even know the message that's got to be shared with people? That's where it starts, right? What's the content? Okay, I'm God's mouthpiece. That's a little bit humbling, is it not? Do I even know what to share? And there are many ways we could share it. I'm not trying to say this is the only way or the verses I used are the best verses or any of those things. Figure out how to share your faith, and you may find this connects with you. You may find pieces of it do, and it's something that can be shared at any time using a pencil and a piece of paper. I want to say there are three little parts to it, and you can think of it this way. There's a background. No story just starts out of the blue, pretty much, right? There's always a background that you want to help set as you begin to share the gospel. And then these two things have to be communicated. The bad news and the good news. What are we often tempted to tiptoe around? The bad news. Oh, because we don't want anyone to think we're judgmental, right? Right? We don't want them to think we're overly critical or that old religion. Isn't that all about guilt and all that type of stuff, right? You hear these things said. Let me tell you something, that good news is good news because the picture isn't pretty apart from the good news, right? And sometimes we can underestimate how important it is to share not only that there's hope for people in Jesus Christ. I want you to hear this. There is both hope for people in Jesus Christ, and then this is also true. They need Jesus Christ. Those two things have to be part of our gospel message. There's hope in Christ. You need Christ. If we're, afraid to talk about one or the other, maybe we're presenting a half of the gospel. And we could have a whole different conversation about that. But a background, bad news, and good news. Y'all ready to do some drawing here? Come on. Okay. At least I'm not asking you to paint like Bob Ross. This is going to be a lot easier. First thing I want you to do at the top of your piece of paper is to draw a cloud. Now, you can pick your cloud. I'd prefer cumulonimbus or something to that effect, right? A nice little puffy cloud. Make it go kind of all the way across the top of your page. And then I want you to write something inside that cloud. I want you to write the word God. And instead of putting it right in the center, by the way, I look out, I see some people not drawing. That's okay. Maybe you got like a whole nother thing and don't need to grow in this way, but I'm encouraging you to do it. Yeah, your pastor's putting a little pressure on you here, but write God there. And if you have a chance, if you haven't already written it, leave a little space to the right because we're going to be writing a few words in that small space. So we've drawn a cloud and we've written the word God there. And now I want you to do this down below. You don't have to draw fancy people. Draw some stick people down there, okay? Draw them on either side. We don't want to put them right in the middle. And there's a reason, because you're going to see why in a little bit. I'm not going to tell you why, but two or three folks out on each side of the cloud there. Go ahead and draw them, and hopefully you've about got that done. And here's what I was saying. We start with the background, right? We start with a little bit of background. I say God, and somebody else may have a completely different idea of what that means in their mind, right? So I want to say something like this. Hey, I want to tell you something. I believe that there is a God, and the Bible tells us about this God. And you want to know one of the main things that the Bible tells us about God? It tells us that God is what? Well, he's definitely good. If you can see it, I had something in mind specifically up there. Check it out. What's the first word we wrote? He's a creator. God is the creator. And you all probably know a verse already that says that, do you not? Some of you aren't sure. You do, right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? The Bible says that there is a God, and this God is the creator. And now that's really interesting, because think about this for a moment. If God has created us, we're accountable to him in some way, are we not? That's quite a statement to make, that he has made us. Not only has he made the trees and the animals and everything that has been made, but he's made us, and the Bible says that we're accountable to God. God is our creator. shared with you already, and you know it, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you could even say something like this if you want, because you've drawn the little people down below. Not only did God create us, but the Bible says that he created us in his what? In his image. By God's design, God created us in his image, and he wants to have a relationship with us. Wants to have a relationship with us. We were created to know him. We're set apart from all other creation in that way, but he's our creator, and you know what? We're accountable to him as our creator, but he created us to know him. Second thing I want to tell you about God is this, and can you see what it says up there? He's holy. We could talk a lot about what that means, but in this context, most immediately, what we're saying is that God's perfect. He's perfect. He's without sin. He's morally spotless. He always does what's right. He's always done what's right. He always will do what's right. Whatever he said is right. It's true. It's good. He's without sin, without flaw, without blemish. He's holy, and that creates a problem for us. You know why that creates a problem for us? Because we're not. We're not holy. And I didn't write it on here yet. You'll see it poke up in a minute. If I had remembered, I would have written right here. You can write above the little people. You can write sin. Because when you talk about the holiness of God, that God is without sin, part of that message is also, guess what, that we've what? We've sinned. Sometimes people might say or ask, what is sin? What would you say? Yeah, that's a great example. We've missed the mark, right? One of the words for sin that we have in Scripture actually has that idea. Everybody has seen someone with a bow and arrow try to hit the bullseye and aim and not hit the bullseye. You heard me last week with doing this example, right? Some of you that were here definitely didn't hit the bullseye. We've sinned. God's always done what's right, but there have been times where we haven't. And the Bible says that we're sinners. Here's a good little verse, and it's so short, easy to remember. Watch this. And some of these verses are going to be ones maybe you've grown up and have memorized a lot of the verses in the book of Romans, you know, the little Romans road and all those. That's fantastic. Here's some other little verses that maybe aren't as familiar to you, but you're going to see why they're so good in sharing the gospel. The Bible tells us God is holy, but you know what he said? You shall be holy, for I am holy. How are you doing without? Now, hey, what happened here? We just got back to what Pastor Pat was talking about with the law, right? How have we done with? Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen something? Hey, we've broken God's law. And you know what? There's a dilemma. We're accountable to this God who is our creator. And we've broken his law. In fact, he said we should be holy because he's holy and we're not. That creates a problem for us. Another passage that I love, and listen to how great this is. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. Word of God says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Remember, this is part of the bad news, right? If you don't get this, you don't understand why we need Jesus so desperately. Our sin has created a problem. This is not, oh, ha, ha, yes, we all sin. No, it's created a problem. The God that we're accountable to, who is our creator, is a God who is holy. And he said, because I'm holy, you're supposed to be holy as my people. And we're not. In fact, our iniquities have made a separation between us and our God, and our sins have hidden his face so that he does not hear. That's a dilemma. It's created a relational problem between us and God. It's not that he's incapable of hearing the sound of our voice. Our God is holy. I want you to do this now. I want you to just below the cloud start to draw a little bit of rain. And we're going to say the third word about our God that the Bible tells us about, that's part of the background that's so important for us to know. Not only is he our creator and we're accountable to him, and he made us, created us in his image to have a relationship with him, but he's holy. He's without sin. We've sinned against this God. It's created a problem. And here's the challenge. Our God is just. He's just. I've heard Pastor Pat ask the question before and heard other people say, what would you think about a judge who was in the court? Someone came to court for breaking the law and they were absolutely guilty. And the judge said, don't worry about it. What kind of judge would that person be? Not a good one. Our God is just. He's just. And we've just said that we've broken his law. We've violated his law. He's a holy God. Our sin, the times we've missed the mark in our lives, they've created a problem. The Bible says that he's just, and watch this verse. Look at this. Paul speaks in 2 Thessalonians 1:9 of those he's talking about who have disobeyed God. And look what he says. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. How big of a deal is our sin? It's so big of a deal that it will keep us from being able to have the relationship with God that God created us to have from the very beginning. And apart from God's solution, we're subject to the penalty of our sin. And the Word of God tells us that any who have disobeyed him will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. And you could say something like this. Do you know what the Bible calls that place? Hell. Hell. As much as I get no pleasure out of saying that to anybody, sometimes loving people involves saying something difficult, motivated by love. When's the last time you or I wept because someone was going to hell? When was the last time we got on our knees and pled with God that someone would be saved and not experience the very thing that we're talking about right now in this verse? There's urgency to this, is there not? I can at times become a little desensitized to it. At times I fail to see how urgent it is. And I can be so busy with everything going on around me. A lot of times good stuff going on around me, but not the main stuff. The main thing of sharing Christ. I've already had you write down sin above the little people there. Just as a reminder, God is holy, but we've fallen short. The rain here kind of represents God's judgment that's going to fall on mankind. But here's the good news. This is where it begins to get good. Not only is God our creator and we're accountable to him, not only is he holy, but we've sinned against him. Not only is he just and will he punish or cause us to pay the penalty for our sins, but the Bible says our God is loving. It's incredibly good news. Now watch, this is the part everybody wants to talk about, is it not? If you ever talk about it, this is the easy part to talk about. Hey, God's loving. And you know what? He is loving, but that means something totally different when we understand we haven't acted in a way toward him that is loving and don't deserve the type of love that he gives us. Watch a couple verses that I want to share with you here. First one is this. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. God is love. Another verse that I bet you're already familiar with. This is Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us, and that while we were what? Still sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible tells us that God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to be separated from him eternally and to experience that punishment. And he's made a way for us to be right with him. The Bible tells us that even while we were sinners, and I love this because God didn't wait for you and I to get it together and get ourselves cleaned up and look presentable before we could come to him, right? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says that Jesus came, that he died on a cross, that he paid the penalty for our sins on that cross. One other verse that I love that you could share. And remember, you don't have to share all these verses. You might think, oh, this is too much. Hey, just the basic message that we're sharing here. Jot these verses down. Some of them are really simple. God's love. In the beginning, God created. You already know a number of these. These are just suggestions as to how you could share with someone. But look at this verse. For our sake, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For our sake, and he says, he, speaking of God, made him, speaking of Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, right? Christ was without sin, but God made Christ to be sin for a purpose. And here's the purpose. Remember, I've told you before, when we see so that, here comes purpose in the Bible, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. That is wonderful, wonderful news. And now maybe you've been wondering, why is there this empty space in the middle of the picture that I'm drawing? And here's why, because I want you to draw an umbrella there right now. And what this communicates visually to people is this: as you've got the rain falling, and you say the rain is the judgment of God, what you can tell them is that because the judgment of God fell upon Jesus, it doesn't have to fall upon you. And then we're going to talk in just a moment upon how what the next thing and the last thing you could say to them would be. But isn't that something to look at visually and go, man, here's God's judgment upon people who have sinned against him. But there's a way to escape his judgment, and that's in Jesus Christ. And here's what you have to be able to get to. Instead of just sharing all these facts, now it's got to turn to this. What do you do? You could ask something like this: does what I shared with you make sense? Are you following what I'm saying? And then at some point, it has to be something like this. How would God have you respond to this message? With repentance and faith. And what do you got in the little picture? One of the people moving out from under God's judgment, under Christ's protection, right? How does that happen? It happens through repentance and faith. We could talk a lot more about those two things right now. I want to share just a few verses with you that help us see, and you heard Pastor Pat talk about repentance as well and why it's so important. This is towards the very end of Paul's ministry, and he's speaking to the Ephesian elders, and he's kind of pouring his heart out to them and saying, you guys are witnesses to how I've served among you and how he's done what God's called him to do. And he says this. He says, I didn't shrink from testifying either to the Jews or the Gentiles, no matter who he was sharing the gospel with. He says, I didn't shrink from testifying of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't shy away from it, is what he's saying here. And so sometimes we hear these big words like repentance and we go, what's that all about? Here's a beautiful picture of repentance in the New Testament. This is 1 Thessalonians 1:9. And look at what Paul says about the Thessalonians, these believers that he's writing to. He commends them because they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Repentance involves this. It's not only a turning to, but it's a turning from. Turning from sin to God. Again, they're commended here. They turn from false idols and worshiping false God to whom? To God. See, sometimes we have this idea in mind, and I guess I would just say this, that when faith is real, when repentance is real, you can't, if this way is sin and destruction, and I'm walking this way, and over where Joel is represents God and salvation in Christ, if this is the direction I'm headed, I can't truly turn there without turning what? From that. These two things go hand in hand. They're not separate things. I think sometimes we want to think of it this way. We want this. We want to keep dragging this stuff with us as we think we're turning to God. But repentance is, you've heard it said, doing a 180. It's a change of mind that results in a change of action. It's a turning from our sin to God. Paul said, I didn't shrink from declaring that message no matter who I took it to. I love that at the end of his ministry, that meant so much to him. Didn't back down, didn't shy away from it. And not only repentance that we see an example of in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, but also this, faith. Faith. In Philippians 3:8 through 9, the word of God says, for Jesus' sake, Paul says, I have suffered the loss of all things and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes what? Through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Inevitably, as God moves and God allows, you would want to ask them, now that you've heard this, you could say something like this, is there any reason you would say no to wanting to move out of God's judgment today, turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus and move under this umbrella to be under God's protection and to be saved? That's quite a picture, isn't it? Now you might be thinking, I just took, well, you know, the actual time of the drawings here was probably 20 minutes or something like that. Could do this in 5 minutes. I'm talking to you as I'm sharing this. I'm giving advice. We're looking at multiple verses. You could look at one verse instead of three or whatever. You could pick a verse you're familiar with. But just this picture is one that I think is so clear and helps communicate the gospel. And like I said, could be shared on a napkin, on a piece of paper, on the right kind of tablecloth. What do we do when God's really convinced us that we're his witnesses, that he's entrusted this message of being reconciled to God to you and I? I would encourage us to go back with where we said we could start once we understand how important this is to God, and it's prayer. It's prayer. I'm going to close us in prayer before our announcements in just a moment, but I forgot I had one last slide, and what I want to communicate to you will be really quick. Check this out. Every person in this room has a unique sphere of influence, we'll call it. You have a unique sphere of influence. That means you are related to people. There are people in your family that I'm not related to, right? Every one of you has people that you work with or that you are a classmate with if you're still working or still in school. Every one of you has neighbors that are unique to you and not to me. Every one of you has acquaintances that you do something with around hobbies or sports or music or whatever it might be outside of the church. Those people are all part of your sphere of influence. And many of them are never going to come into contact with Pastor Ron or Pastor Pat. You're God's witness to them. You are God's witness to them. In his ministry of reconciliation, how they can be reconciled to God. God has said, that message has changed your life. Now, will you take it out and let me use it to change other people's lives? God, forgive us for being so slow to do this at times. Forgive us for being so scared that we fear people and possibly being rejected more than we fear someone's going to hell for eternity. Our God is a loving God. But apart from this message of salvation, there's no escape in his judgment. Christ is the answer. Hope is found in him. There's also urgency to it. Father God, I want to pray that you'd be doing a work in each of our hearts right now. God, help us to remember what you've saved us from. God, help us to preach this gospel message to ourselves and to rehearse all that you've done for us. Help us to be faithful in taking it out to others, God. And we want to acknowledge from the beginning that salvation is of the Lord. And if it was up to us, no one would ultimately be saved. But God, you have a way of working and doing what you want to accomplish. You've just asked that we be available, willing, and obedient. And you get the most glory when you work through weak people like us anyway. God, as I shared this morning, it's possible that there could even be someone here today who was thinking, I never fully understood it this way. God, there's no sharing our faith if we haven't fully embraced what we've just shared this morning, God. And my prayer is that they might run to the hope that can be found in Jesus Christ. That they would turn from their sin to you and trust only in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross to forgive them for their sins and to save them. God, use us, we pray. May this new year, may 2020 be characterized by many God opportunities, many conversations that God was intentionally placed into convict our hearts and help us to share this amazing good news with the world around us. Lord, we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.